Welcome back to the Hardline. Enter at your own risk.
Welcome back to the Hardline, 590 The Fan, KFNS, and 590thefan.com. I am your host, TJ Moe. Friday football show. A lot of fun, as always, as you guys well know. Football is my main sport, what I enjoy the most, what I enjoy covering the most, talking about the most, and talking about people who've been around the sport and really know what they're talking about. I just described Howard Balzer, the Hall of Fame voter who's been around the sport as long as anybody, can tell you the ins and outs of the NFL. We took a couple-week break because of logistics and everything going on. He is back. First, before we go any further, tell me everything I need to know about your Sunday show.
Well, TJ, good to be back with you. Definitely the case there. And, of course, Sundays, every Sunday morning from 11 until 12. Now, I like to call it the fastest football radio hour in St. Louis, although probably yours is probably just as quick on Fridays a lot of times. But quick hours, we cover it all on Sunday morning right before the games. Joe Roderick joins me, and we're live at Mattingly's in Weldon Spring at 94 and Wolfram. Great place to come and hang out. To watch the games. They have the Sunday tickets, so all the great games are there as we, of course, come down the stretch here. The final 3 weeks as playoff positioning is being jockeyed for. Here's one great thing about it. They don't open late on Sundays. They open the doors at 8:30 in the morning and have a breakfast menu. They have a breakfast buffet for $7.99, all you can eat. Then they have football specials throughout the day that you can order the lunch-dinner type food off the menu, bucket and pitcher specials. So they've got it all going on at Mattingly's and enjoyed being there all season. Not that many weeks left in the year, but they will be there again on Sunday, 11 to 12, for NFL Sunday kickoff.
Before we go too far into our NFL talk, we know that basically, the NFC playoffs are set. I don't think anybody's making any headway there, in my opinion. I know mathematically a lot of different things could happen. The way it's set up, they're set. The AFC, though, I think is fascinating. You could see a lot of movement there. But we did have we had some news over the past week about Carson Wentz. It came out today that Carson Wentz has a fractured vertebrae in his back. The team will continue to evaluate if the quarterback can play again this season. They had some movement this week, obviously, in this year. Obviously, he tore his ACL and I think MCL last year, and they went on the crazy run. He worked his way back, albeit a little bit slower than a lot of people thought they would, and they returned a lot of people to that roster. Nobody expected them to be in the position they are today. He lost his quarterback coach, who just was fired now as the Vikings offensive coordinator this week. But outside of that, this has mostly been a lot of the same guys just not playing nearly as well as they did during that run last year. And I think he was in line to perhaps win the MVP last year, and he just hasn't been that same guy.
No, he really hasn't. There's been a lot of things that have happened to that team. You know, one of the ironies, TJ, is that, of course, the Eagles play the Rams this weekend on Sunday Night Football, and probably for all intents and purposes, if they don't win that game, they will be out of the playoffs. And if they don't have a chance, they might have some crazy mathematical chance depending on what other teams do. But if they're out of it, and we assume that Nick Foles will probably play this week, I would suspect they will not even take a chance of putting Carson Wentz back in there for the final two games of the season. But one irony is that last year, as you mentioned, he was having an MVP year, and the game he got hurt on was in Los Angeles against the Rams on December 10th. So this injury comes up virtually the year to the day right before another game they have against the Rams. But, you know, the one thing I'll say about the Eagles, like you said, Wentz hasn't been as good as he was when he got hurt, which isn't that much of a surprise. When you miss that much time and you spend the offseason rehabbing instead of preparing to play football, that's not as easy as I think some people think. And that he doesn't play the first few games of the year, and you're not on the same wavelength a lot of times. It's a new season, and it's just different circumstances. But the other thing that's happened to the Eagles, TJ, is that they've had a lot of injuries. And I know they had some last year, but you know this year they've lost running backs. They didn't have Darren Sproles almost the whole year. Jay Ajayi got hurt. Their offensive line's been backed up. Their secondary has been absolutely decimated by injury, and teams have been able to pass on them. And so they lost a bunch of close games. And we all know what a fine line there is in the NFL between winning close games, obviously, and then losing them. When you start losing them, you lose some confidence, and it's awful tough to to rebound from that. So obviously it hasn't gone as well as they would have liked. I think they still have a pretty good foundation of a roster there, but a combination of all these things I just mentioned and the injuries have really hurt them, and they just haven't won those big games, which they were certainly obviously able to do last year when they got on that run. They gained a tremendous amount of confidence. When you're on that roll, you just feel that nobody can beat you, and that's pretty much what happened to them last season. So big disappointment, but it happens every year in the NFL. You have teams that had really good years that fall off, and hey, look at the Vikings. I mean, you just mentioned John DeFilippo getting fired as the offensive coordinator in Minnesota. You know, there's a team that was 13-3 last year, one step away from the Super Bowl before they lose on that wild play against New Orleans in the playoffs, and here they are entering the final 3 weeks at 6-6-1. So that's, like I said, that's the fine line between winning and losing in this league, and it happens to a lot of teams.
Yeah, it sure does. All right, let's talk a little bit. We'll dive back into some individual NFL storylines here in a bit, but I want to talk playoff picture. The Saints and the Rams are far and ahead right now, the teams that are leading the pack in the NFC. They have already clinched their division. They've clinched a playoff spot. We will see who ends up with home field, both sitting at 11-2 at the moment. The Bears can clinch their division this weekend. The Cowboys likely to end up finishing, which is amazing, from where they were sitting at 3-5, now sitting at 8-5. They are in a really good position. Then you have the Seahawks, who are playing really good ball right now, and the Vikings, who are just sort of hanging on. But I'll be honest with you, the Panthers are absolutely crumbling. The Eagles probably lost their quarterback for the year. Nick Foles really did not play well when he was in there. And as you just mentioned, they have had some injuries this year and just have not played particularly well. And the only other team in the hunt, in my opinion here, is the Redskins, and the Redskins are now onto their third-string quarterback. They are absolutely decimated. And so I think the top six are set in the NFC. It's the AFC, though, that I think could really change. I think the Colts can slide into the playoffs. I know the Ravens are playing good ball, but Lamar Jackson is a little bit banged up. Right now the Ravens are the sixth seed, sitting at 7-6. They have the tiebreaker over the 7-6 Colts, the 7-6 Dolphins, and the 7-6 Titans. I don't really believe in the Titans. I know they've had some big wins this year. Same thing with the Dolphins. They have been in and out. I don't truly believe in who they are. But I'll tell you what, the Colts, and maybe you can explain this to me, Howard, that is the best defense in the NFL since about week 7. And I have no idea how. I can hardly name a player on that defense, but they have been spectacular.
They really have played well. And I think there's, Matt Eberflus, who had been hired to be the defensive coordinator for the Colts when Josh McDaniels was going to be the head coach. And then, of course, McDaniels turned it down after the Super Bowl. And the Colts hired Frank Reich, of course, and they just kept Eberflus. And he has done an excellent job with that defense. But I think also what we've seen with the Colts, obviously the return of Andrew Luck has been huge, but they've also found a running game. And so I think that does two things. It helps Andrew Luck and the passing game, because now defenses have to account for both. But when you're able to run, when you're able to have balance in your offense, that also keeps the defense off the field. And so the defense can play at a much higher level. So it's just a very improved team. Luck obviously is the linchpin of it all, but there's all those other factors, I think, that enter into it. I will say this about the Colts, and I agree with you there. It's certainly a team to watch, but you look at their last three games, obviously starting with this week, they're at Houston, and that's always a tough game. Then they have Dallas at home, and then they have the Giants at home. And people can scoff at the Giants, but they're starting to play a lot better football, and they like nothing better than to be a spoiler. So who knows? I mean, I think this AFC East, or the AFC rather, as you noted, who knows, which one of those teams is going to be standing at the end of it all. But I think the Colts have a great shot, no doubt about it. But a lot of times who you're playing and can you win those big games is going to be a big factor. But just back to the NFC, and I know we'll have plenty of time in the upcoming weeks to talk about all this, but look at those teams that you mentioned. And obviously the Rams, the Saints, the Cowboys, the Bears, there's your division winners, and most likely, of course. And then, of course, like you said, Minnesota and Seattle. Well, if the Vikings can get that offense back clicking, that they're, the, you know, the Vikings in Seattle are not going to be easy outs in the playoffs. And so you look at those other four teams besides the Saints and the Rams, they've gotten mostly where they've gotten because of defense. And so I think that's going to make for some fascinating matchups in the postseason, especially with the Saints and the Rams, as can one of those defenses maybe upset those explosive offenses and in terms of, you know, strength against strength. So I think that's going to make for a very, very interesting January, especially in the NFC.
I think you nailed it. The NFC, I can't tell you what's going to happen in the playoffs. Let me backtrack a little bit here. While I think the NFC is pretty much set, I don't think any of the teams in the hunt are going to find their way in. I just don't think they have enough going there. The NFC, the six teams that are in there, along with probably seven to eight teams in the AFC, are all legitimate teams. And last week, Howard, we haven't had a chance to talk even off the air about this, but last week, in my opinion, the NFL reacquainted itself with America as the dominant brand that nobody's questioning anymore. And I think it sort of reintroduced itself. The Monday night game, the shootout between the Chiefs and the Rams, that was spectacular. And we've had a great year of football, don't get me wrong. But we talked for 2 years. It's been either the protest or the declining ratings and the argument about why the ratings are declining. Is it cord cutting? And there's been a ton of debate. Well, this year, while regular programming on television is down about 10%, the NFL is up between 4 and 5% across all television platforms. And they're actually going up while everybody's cutting the cords, which is incredible, which tells you they're actually growing at a pace today that they weren't growing at before because of all the different variables. So in my opinion, getting everything behind you and playing spectacular football, and also in a year where the Patriots aren't really the Patriots this year, and the Chiefs are up there, but yeah, they don't play much defense, and Kareem Hunt got kicked off the team. And, well, are the Steelers that we see when they can show up and beat anybody, or are they the Steelers that just lost to Oakland? And same thing with the Saints. They looked great until they ran into the buzzsaw that was the Dallas Cowboys, and then they can't score any points. You know, the Rams have been up and down. It's like this year, every time we think there's a dominant team, the Rams have to go to Chicago, and they look terrible. And I love that. I think it's great for the sport, and I think it's been spectacular for the NFL as a whole, where this is the most parity I can remember at any point in the last decade or so.
No, I think you make a lot of great points. And we've talked about it all year, and I think it's been building all year. And I think a lot of it that really drove it early in the year were the offenses and the high-scoring games and the quarterbacks and offense, which was bringing people back who love those type of games. But I think I remember saying to you at one point, let's see what happens when that weather starts, you know, to get cold, and it's a little bit different for the offenses when you get to December and then of course into January. They've also had for the most part some pretty compelling night games and primetime games, which have held audiences. But then, like you said, then you get one of those games where a Dallas defense shuts down New Orleans, or the Bears defense does what it did against the Rams. And so that just, you know, confirms that you just never know what's going to happen in games. And so, yeah, I think it is wide open. I think the AFC is really, you know, maybe they're not more wide open than the NFC. It does seem that way. But, you know, you mentioned the Steelers, for example. They're in danger now. After they were 7-2-1, and they've now lost three games in a row, and they've got New England this week, and then at New Orleans next week. I mean, they are in danger of not making the playoffs. So, who knows? You know what's going to happen there. And so that's what I think has done it. You have a lot of teams that remain alive, and even though some will argue, oh, well, they're 7-6 teams, you know, they're mediocre, they're average. Well, I always like to call it competitive, because it just shows how close all these teams are to each other. And when you have that many teams that still have a shot with 3 weeks to go in the season, then that holds a lot of interest. And a lot of times it's that way, TJ, in the NFL, because there is only 16 games. You know, it's not like Major League Baseball, where you might be 18 games out at the beginning of September, and you know there's very few teams that really have a chance to get to the postseason. But in the NFL, you know that even a team sitting at 500 with four to go, if they can go on a run at the end of the year, they could get in. And so that's, I think it's been even more believable perhaps this year than in a lot of previous years, even though we might have a 9-7 team. Who knows? We might have an 8-8 team in the postseason. I don't think that'll happen, but it very well could. But I think that speaks to how, like I said, how close these teams are to each other.
We're talking to Howard Balzer here on the Friday football version of the Hardline. I think you make a good point, and I think it was, what, 3 or 4 years ago that the 7-9 Panthers hosted a playoff game. So we've seen crazy things happen in the NFL. And one thing I want to point out is you mentioned, yeah, okay, there are 7-6 teams that right now there's a 6-6-1 team that if the playoffs started today, the Vikings are in. They'd somehow turn 13 into a round number and they'd be in, right? But you look at the Patriots who just got drummed by the Lions this year and crushed by the Titans thoroughly and have done things like last week against Miami that are so far out of character, yet they're still sitting at 9-4. They're unbelievable in Foxborough, but if they don't find a way, and I don't see it happening, to take over the number one overall seed, then if they do make it to the AFC Championship game, they're not going to be in Foxborough. And they have not been very good away from Foxborough this year. So there's just a lot of openings that I think in years past, you're like, all right, look, the Patriots probably aren't going to lose at home, and they're the one seed. So somebody's going to have to play the game of their life, or somebody's going to have to try to beat them in the Super Bowl. That's not the case this year. And the Chiefs already showed that they can play with them up in Foxborough. And I think a lot of people came away from that Patriots win thinking, you know, the Chiefs might be a better team here.
No, no doubt about it. They very well might be. Now, I think, you know, the Chiefs right now, they're, you know, I think they're having some struggles offensively, even though it does seem that Patrick Mahomes digs them out and always finds a way to make plays in the fourth quarter. But not having Kareem Hunt makes them not as good. Not having Sammy Watkins makes them not as good. They're hoping to have him back for the playoffs, but certainly that's not a given coming back from a foot injury. And so and the other thing, you know, as the season goes on and the intensity ramps up, then that preparation that goes into it with teams finding ways and seeing what other teams have done against certain teams, then that gives we always hear it's a copycat league, but teams learn from what other teams have done and it helps them when you end up playing that team a little bit later, because you see what other teams, you know, have done. So I think that's what kind of levels that playing field tremendously. And I don't know, quite honestly, if it's possible right now. I mean, we can all say, oh, this team's the best. But I would, frankly, TJ, not be surprised by just about any result that occurs in the postseason. Wouldn't be surprised by any team that's home and with a bye that would lose because it is that close. And we all know in four quarters, in one Sunday afternoon or Saturday night, whenever you end up ending up playing, just about anything can happen. And that's the true bottom line with all we talked about this league. That's the true bottom line with this league, is you never know what's going to happen in any game, even though everyone thinks they know.
If the playoffs started today, I was going through my head if I would be surprised by any result. And let's talk just Super Bowl. I wouldn't be surprised if the Chiefs were in the Super Bowl, or the Patriots, or the Texans, or the Steelers. Even the Steelers, like you'd say, they must have gone on a run, but you think they have it in them. Same thing with the Chargers. Right. I would be surprised by the Ravens. That, if the playoffs today, I would be very surprised if the Ravens were in the Super Bowl. That is the only AFC team. So there are five teams I'd say, yeah, okay, that makes sense. Similarly, on the NFC side, Saints, sure. Rams, sure. Bears, they play a hell of a lot of defense, and they have figured out with Matt Nagy how to be really creative offensively. Cowboys have gone on a hell of a run. I don't know if they can continue to play this far over their head defensively, but if they do, sure, they could do it with that run game. Seahawks have Russell Wilson, and their defense is playing as well as it has since about 2014. The only team that I see that couldn't probably do it are the Vikings, and they have the talent. I just don't see it. So I think there are five teams on each side, to your point, that if they were in the Super Bowl, I'd say, yeah, wouldn't bet against it.
No, I'm with you. And even with the Ravens, I mean, we saw, you know, how well they played against the Chiefs last week, and they gave them everything that they can handle. Now, I'm with you. I don't, you know, who knows what Lamar Jackson as a rookie is going to do in the playoffs. But even if they get in and he's still their quarterback, then they still have Joe Flacco sitting there. And so if he's struggling a little bit, or they need some big plays off the bench in the passing game, you still have Flacco to come off. And they run the ball well. and they play good defense. You mentioned Seattle. I think the biggest thing that no one hardly talked about as the Seahawks came back to earth a little bit, obviously, the last couple seasons, is they didn't have a running game.
Yeah.
And, I mean, a big part of why they got there, yes, was Russell Wilson, yes, was the defense, but they also had Marshawn Lynch, who could just crush people, and that did all the things that you want accomplished with a running game. Then they couldn't run for a couple of years. Now they've gotten back to it, and there's not one guy that does it, but they have a combination with Carson, and Penny is now making a little bit of a, you know, of an impact. And so they got three guys there that can run the football. So that helps them too. You know, look at, isn't that interesting? Look, the teams we're talking about that have chances to win, and as good as they have to be at quarterback, and you want that good defense, most of them have good running game. And so that remains important. As much as this is a passing league, and we talk about the offensive explosion all the time, if you're going to be a champion, I'll always believe, and no one will ever talk me out of it, that you still have to have the ability to run the football.
I want to go through each team here, Howard, and I'll kind of tell you what I think, and you've probably already thought through this yourself, so you'll have your own answer. Of the playoff teams today, the surprises. And normally you have a pretty good impression of a team after week two or three. Sometimes they're playing way over their heads or just haven't gotten it together yet. Like, for instance, the way the Saints started out against Tampa Bay. But typically after week two or three, you pretty much know. I think the Chiefs, you pretty much knew after week three. Patriots, you always knew what you're getting. The Texans looked terrible through 3 weeks and came back, and that was a huge surprise. The Steelers, I am surprised. They were my Super Bowl pick. To see how bad they can look at times this year has been really surprising. Not surprised at all by the Chargers. The Ravens, I'm surprised how it developed, but if you'd have told me at the start of the season they'd be 7-6, I'd say that's about right. I'm surprised as hell by the Saints. I knew the Saints would be good, but to look virtually dominant in every single game outside of one hiccup against Dallas is as surprising as hell. The Rams look about right. I'm surprised as hell by the Bears. That defense, I mean, I'm sure you've seen the stats been going around all week. 2015, 8 interceptions. 2016, 8 interceptions. 2017, 8 interceptions. 2018, 25 interceptions, and they have only played 13 games. That is spectacularly surprising to me. And then the last three teams, Cowboys, somewhat surprised, not by the record, but how it's happened, the resurgence there. Seahawks about right. Surprised the Vikings are so bad. So there actually have been, to maybe our point going back a few minutes ago, the parity in the NFL this year was largely based on surprise, either of teams underachieving or teams really overachieving based on our expectations.
Yeah, and you know, the Vikings got off to a pretty good start, and you thought, okay, they're going to be okay here. And then they hit a little speed bump, and they had the last few weeks, they haven't been able to score points. And then, of course, they react like a whole bunch of other teams have this year by firing a coach during the season, an assistant coach, which we've seen more this year than ever in the past. Seattle has surprised me somewhat. I didn't write them off at the beginning of the year because they've always been so good at putting a roster together and making it work. But of course the big question is, will they be able to run the football? And that I've been, you know, I said that a lot, and they have been able to do that. And the offensive line has played a lot better. So it's, you know, when you get on one of those, like I was saying earlier, TJ, when you get on one of those runs and you start getting that confidence and the ball starts bouncing your way and you win some close games, then all of a sudden you find yourself in pretty good position. And that's, you know, that's the story of this league. The Saints don't surprise me that. Yeah, I guess I don't know if I would have said they'd be 11-2 at this point, but they were 11-5 last year. And so we'll see what they finish up with. But, you know, the most they can do is win three more games than last year. And yeah, and percentage wise, that's a lot, but they were still, you know, a darn good team to go 11-5 last season. One team that surprised me going the other way is Carolina, because when they were sitting there at 6-2, I really thought that with Cam Newton, with McCaffrey, with a pretty good defense, that they were at least going to be in the hunt, if not to stay with the Saints in the division, at least be a playoff team. And the way they've fallen off the earth has been a surprise. But again, they've lost a bunch. I think in this losing streak, I think three or four of the games have been by one score or less, and a few of them have been by 3 or 4 points. So when those things start happening, man, you just get, you start questioning yourself. You start saying, what bad is going to happen next? And it's a real challenge for a coaching staff sometimes and for leadership in the locker room to keep everybody up and to say, hey, you know, next week's the important one. Just come back. But then you lose another one, and all of a sudden it starts building on itself, and that's the story of the NFL. So, but like you said, going back to one of your original points, it's been a very compelling season. But I'll tell you, I think there's going to be some surprises coming down the stretch still to come.
Yeah, I think that's exactly right. Unfortunately, we are running out of time. You and I could talk football all day, but tell us one more time where we can hear you, where we can go hang out with you this weekend, and what's going to be the fastest hour of football talk in the region this Sunday.
Previewing all the games from 11 till 12, all the big stories on NFL Sunday kickoff, 11 until noon before the first games kick off. And Joe Roderick joins me at Mattingly's at 94 and Wolfram in Weldon Spring. So come on over. It's a great atmosphere, great spot to watch the games. And come early because, like I said, they have you can order breakfast off the menu, or they have a breakfast buffet, plus, of course, a regular menu with all the usual food you expect. And I'll tell you, everything I've had there is really good. So it's good food, good atmosphere, specials throughout the day, TVs all over the place. A Sunday ticket, of course, they have. That's all at Mattingly's, 11 till 12, 11 till noon every Sunday on 590 for NFL Sunday kickoff.
Good stuff, Howard. We will talk to you again next week. Thanks for the good info, and we'll make sure to tune in on Sunday.
Sounds good, TJ. Take care.
All right, man. Take care. There's Howard Balzer, Hall of Fame voter for the NFL, and a guy that knows a little bit about everything as far as the NFL goes. So thank you all for hanging out tonight. It's been a lot of fun. It's been another really good week of sports talk. Always fun in St. Louis. Seems to have been, this is my favorite time of year, honestly. You get into all the bowls for college football. You get into the NFL stuff. It is hot stove season for baseball. The Blues, not very good, but typically a fun time for that. There are stories popping up all over the place, college basketball going on, the NBA, you never run out of stuff to talk about. So a lot of fun for us here. We'll be back on Monday, of course. We'll be back 1 o'clock, 1 to 3 for the Hardline, and we will catch you all then. Make sure you go download the podcast, the Hardline STO. It will be on iTunes and a lot of good stuff there. So you all have a great night and a great weekend. Enjoy a lot of good football, and we'll talk to you on Monday. See ya.